Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, all those. Thank you, Bethany, for planning, putting this together. Always great to worship the Lord and great to bring praise to his name. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Genesis for just one quick second. Monty, I'm sorry I didn't put this on the sheet. Genesis chapter number 3. It's the first book of the Bible. And chapter number 3. We've had an interesting week here in our country, as many of you are aware of some of the events that have transpired. And I think this is no longer not necessarily about politics, but we understand the person that lost his life this week was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaimed many of the things that the Bible teaches and affirms those things. So this morning I want to give you a message on the spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle that we're all in. And we see this, I think, not necessarily beginning, but we understand we see some of it being written here in Genesis chapter number 3, and beginning in verse number 1, as we see the fall of mankind, and we see the orchestrator of this fall, which is none other than the devil. And you're going to begin to see from the Word of God here in Genesis chapter number 3, that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And he says in verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman," and you see four words here that the devil is continuing to repeat even to this day. He says this at the beginning in verse number 1, the middle part of chapter 3 in verse number 1, "And he said unto the woman, yea, comma, hath God said?" Has God really said these things? "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Begins by questioning God's word, questioning God's instructions, questioning God's ways. He begins, the serpent with Eve, saying, has God really said these things? Maybe there's a question. Maybe there's a doubt that maybe God did not say these things. So he begins by questioning the very word of God, and that has been the plan of the devil from this point on. He wants you to question what God has said. He wants you to question what is right and what is wrong. He wants you to go against the truth that God has revealed. If you continue on down through chapter 3 and find yourself in verse number 4, the devil then once again speaking to Eve after Eve responded to his original thought in verse number 4, he says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." You're not going to die. That's not going to happen, because Eve had just told the serpent God's instruction where the Eve said that God said, if the day we do this, we shall surely die. And the serpent comes back to Eve and says, "No, that's not true, Eve. Ye shall not truly die." And then he has his own little slant upon things in verse number 5, where he says, "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil." The very beginning of mankind was marked with deception, and the deception of the devil continues to this day. Men and women today question the truth of God's word. We have gone so far as to give evolution credit for the creation of the world. We no longer understand and recognize that God is the one that formed not only the earth, but on the sixth day he made man and women in his very image. That we are created for a plan and a purpose. That there is a God. That's what the Bible begins with. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And there is lies that are propagated by the devil that are continuing to be spread and confusing mankind throughout all history. We have a society today that I would believe is more confused than ever. Right. And I'm not saying politically, I'm saying biblical truth, right. What God has spoken to be true and to be correct and to be accurate is ridiculed in society. natural things that are normal, that are normal to nature, normal to humankind, normal to being created in the image of God, are put aside as though they are foolishness. This is not about politics. This is about the truth of God's word. I don't mean to bust your bubble and get in trouble, but a man cannot have a child. I mean, the truth of Scripture. Scripture teaches that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and confusing these things has led to such difficulty and pain. And it's celebrated as though it is something that is liberating, and really there is great bondage in this confusion. The Bible has taught us what life is and who God is and who man is and how we were created and why we were created. These are truth. This has nothing to do with politics. This is the truth of Scripture. This is who we are. And man has turned their back upon God and has led to great confusion. And it starts with the devil and his lies. The statement goes, if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, eventually somebody will believe you. And that's what we see in our society. So in Genesis 3, the devil says, has God really said that? Yea, hath God said, you shall not surely die. God is holding back on you, basically, is what he's saying. He knows that if you do this, then you're going to be as a god. He's holding back on you. And then we see Eve eats of the fruit. Mankind falls into sin. And we go into the situation we're in today, where mankind living in sin in need of a Savior. And that's why right away in Genesis 3:15, a Savior is promised in Genesis 3:15, where the Bible talks about sending someone that will crush the head of the serpent. But we have to live in the realm of truth. Take your Bibles now. That was all free. Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Ephesians. We live in a world where battles are fought daily, some physical, some emotional, but the greatest of all, and the battle that is often overlooked, is the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle that all are involved in, whether you recognize it or not. The Apostle Paul, in closing his letter to the church at Ephesus, reminds the Christians in Ephesus to be strong in the Lord, as we'll see in verse number 10 of chapter number 6, to be strong in the Lord. And he's going to answer through these several verses this morning why. And the reason is going to be given to the church at Ephesus and to the church in Westcliff and to churches and Christians all around the world. The reason is given is because whether we realize it or not, you are in a spiritual war. And he will reveal these truths to us. And I think you can recognize, Christian, today that there is a spiritual war. The devil wants to steal and destroy. Whoever you may be here today, whether you're young or old, the devil's not your friend. The devil is the author of confusion and the author of lies. The devil does not want anything good for your life in any way, shape, or form. The devil is a master at disguising. The devil is a master at tricking and deceiving. The devil is a master at leading people astray time and time again. We are in a spiritual battle. And the devil's great plan for mankind is this: to take you to hell with him. That's what he wants. And he will do anything to lead you in that direction. Even at times making his way seem appealing. The Bible says that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Who is the one coaxing down the broad way? It is the devil in his lies and his deception. He is the one that brings deception to lives with lies, and he wants nothing more than to take you to hell with him. The devil is a hard taskmaster. The Bible says that we are in a spiritual warfare. But here to the church at Ephesus, he begins in verse number 10 of chapter 6. He says, finally, my brethren, or in closing, my brethren. The fact that he uses the word brethren indicates that he was addressing this to Christian people. In other words, you could take it this way, just because you're a believer does not mean you are immune to spiritual warfare. It probably means there's even more of a target upon your back if you're in this battle. So he is telling them, brethren, beware. There is an attack. There's so many side avenues I could go from this. I have to be careful this morning. But there is an attack upon the American family today. There is an attack upon manhood and upon womanhood. There's an attack upon children. Let me talk about that for just a second. Social media is a disaster. Teenagers consume this stuff constantly. The things they see, many, many things they see and take in are complete and total lies. Do we understand that social media is monetized? Do you know what that means? That you make money from getting people to click on your video? There is no difference on whether it is false or accurate. It doesn't matter. If they click on it, you're paid the same. You can put almost anything out there you want, whether it be true or false, and still make money from it. As a matter of fact, the false things sometimes do better than the real things because it sensationalizes what people consider to be true. I'm so glad that I grew up in the era where we had a 10-foot-long cord on our phones that got tangled up, right? I mean, wasn't that nice to call somebody on a landline, right? Before all these things took place, I remember when internet, and I know many of you go much further back in these areas, but I remember when internet first came out, I would email somebody, and in order to email somebody, I had to carry this monitor, it was this big, carry it to the phone jack, put it down, go get the computer base, carry it to the phone jack, put it down, right? And then got a little phone cord, plugged it in, and then you listen. You know, all these weird sounds going on, and then finally you would get logged into your email and you would send one little line, and then like a week later you'd check it again if you had the energy to carry the computer to the phone line again. At least that's how it was in my house. Technology and media, I have a whole presentation on this, but increased social media leads to depression. It leads to comparing yourself with other people. I'll just tell you a personal story on this. One year, Joanna was joking, and she was looking on Facebook for a second, and she's like, everybody else is having more fun than us. Right? You know, everybody else posting their little, you know, their things. Everybody's having more fun. But it gets us to compare one another with things. And we have all this stuff going on. The devil is using many of these things. I'm not saying it's all bad, but be careful with it. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. We have things that are going on. Like it or not, there's a battle raging around us. So he says, brethren, this is my challenge for you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let me just hurt your feelings for a second, okay? Me and you are no match for the devil and his lies. We need the Lord. We need his truth. We need his understanding. We need to be strong, not in our own might. He doesn't say, be strong in the Lord. He doesn't say, pull yourself together. No. He says, you be Christian. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. Jesus says, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Be strong, not in yourself. Don't pull yourself together, but be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Our strength comes from him, not from us. The idea, this little idea here that he says the power of his might, he's referring to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That is the power that we have in this battle. We are not told to fight in our own name. We are not told to fight in our own understanding, but we are told that there is victory in the strength of Christ. We're in a battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We stand in the strength of God. We stand in the power of God, not in our own power. And we stand against the lies that the devil has. So in this battle that we're in, when you feel weak, are worn out, are weary, don't give up. Lean harder on the Lord. Trust in Him. Rely on Him. And then he begins to go into a little more detail about this battle, this spiritual warfare that we're in. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He starts talking about the necessity of armor, the source of our strength in verse 10, which is God, and the necessity of armor. Verse number 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Not of our own understanding, but the armor of God. Paul calls us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put on the whole armor, not just part of it, but every piece is vital. If you have a opening in your armor, that's where the devil will attack. Either our minds, our hearts, our relationship with the Lord. It's amazing. God's armor is not man-made. It's effective, and it's divinely designed for the believer. The armor is not for fashion, it's for function, as he says in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And this is interesting, as he says in verse number 11, that you may be able to stand in this spiritual warfare that we're in. And then he uses a very interesting word here, that you'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is where we get our word for scheme. It's our word for scheme. That we would be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Have you ever heard someone use the word scheme? We may not use it enough, you know, but you could see a child that they say they're scheming a plan, right? To do something. In sports, they have a scheme, a plan for the game that they're playing in. This is our scheme. This is our defensive scheme. This is our offensive scheme. It's a plan. This should scare you to death. Listen at this for a moment. The devil has a plan for you. He has a scheme against you. We're all different. We all have different things that we deal with. We all have different things that work in our lives. We all have different temptations. The devil has a scheme and a plan to bring you down. That scares me to death. As a pastor, he has a plan to ruin me. He wants to. That's his desire. As a Christian here today, he has a plan to ruin you. That you would be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He wants your marriage ruined. He wants your family ruined. He wants your church ruined. He wants your friends ruined. He wants your children ruined. He's not your friend. The plan and the scheme he has is to bring you down. He succeeds at times as Christians let down their guard and let down the armor that God has provided and allow the scheme of the devil to plan and to work. These schemes that he has, and we'll move on in just a moment, are not always big and bold like you think it may be. It may be a scheme to plant unforgiveness in your heart and ruin years of your life being angry at somebody. It could be a scheme to have jealousy towards someone else. It could be a scheme that is as small as gossip or rumors that hurt and hinder your relationship with others and with God. He has a plan, he has a scheme, and it's a wile of the devil. And God says to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you would be able to stand against the wiles and the schemes of the devil. I don't want to fall prey to the devil. This is how I view the devil. Like I said, there's a lot of free things, okay? I hope no one's ever done this. I feel bad because one time I talked about this and I hurt someone's feelings accidentally. But you ever known a dishonest used car salesman? You know, which is all of them, right? You remember in Andy Griffith's show where Barney Fife buys that car from that woman? You know, and he's driving down the road and the steering wheel comes up in front of him and the whole thing breaks down. I think he has to walk home or something. Dishonest, right? Everything on that used car looks so good. I've had an experience like that. It's like, oh, it looks good. It runs good, you know? You know, you go to look at a used car and they've had it warmed up before you get there and it cranks right up when you get there. And you're like, whoa, it runs great. This is fantastic, you know? And, you know, and then you get it home and you realize, oh, goodness, I had a truck I bought one time that an old trick that on these Ford makes a 5.4 Triton 3-valve disaster, okay? They have these things where the cam phasers go out, and if you want to quiet them down, you just dump thick oil in them, and they'll quiet right down. I bought a Ford like that one time. Oh, it ran great. I was like, oh, I can't believe mine was not affected by this. First oil change. Put the oil in it. I mean, it just was rattling like crazy. Don't worry, I sold it to my dad. And I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, but we you know, that's what the devil does. He's that salesman. Everything's going to be fine. This is going to be great. It's okay to have that. Don't you worry about it. This is great, right? And then you buy it and you find out it's not as great as you thought. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the lies and the schemes of the devil. One more verse and we'll be done. And then he begins to talk about the real enemy exposed. The source of strength in verse number 10. The necessity of armor in verse number 11. And then the real enemy exposed in verse 12. For we wrestle. Wrestling is close, by the way. Kate knows that, right? When you wrestle somebody, you grab them, you know? He's talking about this is close. The devil and his lies, they're there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But he starts talking about principalities. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, demonic rulers. I think if our eyes could be open to see the demonic activity around us, we would be shocked to see the activity. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, demonic rulers. I think it's interesting that demonic things have been normalized. Just a cartoon character, right? Just the devil with a little pitchfork and a tail. You know what I mean? It's no big deal. Just normalized demonic activity. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, demonic rulers. In verse number 12, against powers, spiritual authorities. There's powers. There's demonic rulers. And then he says in verse number 12, and the rulers, we'll start back at verse number 12 again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. Those influencing evil in the world, that's the battle. It's spiritual. You must fight spiritual battles spiritually with the power of the Lord. Against spiritual wickedness, he says, in high places. There is so much evil and so much confusion in this world. We must draw our strength from God. Demonic forces working in spiritual realms. This is serious. This is not distant warfare. It's personal. It's up close and intense. We wrestle against these wicked, evil powers that bring confusion. And the only way to be successful in this battle is with the power of the Lord. We must use spiritual weapons. We must use the power of God in our hearts and our minds, which is the truth of the Word of God. Not our own understanding, but the truth and the power of God. I'm almost done, but I want to illustrate this for you today. I believe during World War II, there was a town, Leningrad, that was under siege and it was cut off. And so, from what I understand from history, that there was a lake that they laid railroad tracks on and even built a road on in order to supply that town that they would be able to maintain until winter was over and then they could fight back against the armies that were coming. My dad used to love to watch World War II videos and things, and even these old black and white videos. They would talk about battle strategies and how these things were happening. And what they would often illustrate is that when these battles and these wars were going on, the opposing army would always try to separate the other army from their supplies. And when they were able to separate the other army from their supplies, then it was just a matter of time before they would fall and be defeated. So Jeremiah is going to come help me today, and Colin and Carter are going to come help me today. Stand up here real quick. Come here, Jeremiah. Come here, Colin and Carter. And so what we have here is we have these young men here. Thank you, guys. I know they love when I call them out. Colin looked at me like, what in the world are you doing? So this is my supplies, okay? This is the truth of the Word of God. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the strength and the power of God in my life. And these are things that I need to be relying on, all right? And I'm over here. I'm over here as the Christian. I'm in this spiritual battle. And what the devil wants to do is he wants to keep my supply line from me. Because he knows if I get separated from the power of the Holy Spirit, from the truth of the Word of God, from the understanding of Scripture, we could give all kinds of names of these guys. We'll change it every time. All right? And so if I get separated from them, I'm going to fall to the spiritual warfare that I'm in. And so these guys are coming over here to me. Come on over here. And I got the power of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual battle. I have the truth. So important. The truth of the Word of God. We're in a battle for truth. We need the truth of the Word of God. That's what the devil is saying. Hath God said, Josh, that's not true. I need the truth of the Word of God. I need the power and the strength of Christ in my life. I've renamed you three times. All right? And so in my life, what we want to do is we want to make sure in this spiritual warfare that we're in that nothing comes between us and our supply line. Don't let the devil cut off that supply. You can sit down. You get the picture, okay? And so don't let the devil cut off our supply line to the truth of God's Word. That's why he says, Christian, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is spiritual things. And in order to win spiritual battles, we must have spiritual supplies. You must have spiritual supplies. Draw close to the Lord. Draw strength from Him and walk in His truth each and every day. Don't separate from the supply line. Christian here today, wake up to the battle that is raging around us. Draw close to the Lord. Draw strength from Him. We need God and His strength and His truth. Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and play a song for us this morning. As they begin to play for us this morning, there in your seat, as we've been studying in the book of Hebrews, that the author of Hebrews is always calling for a response. Presenting truth, calling for a response. The Apostle Paul presents truth, calls for a response. Are you drawing your strength from Christ during this time? you recognize the battle, the spiritual battle that is raging around us as the devil rages war on truth and scripture and understanding. Are you drawing strength from the truth of God's word, from the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you walking with God? Maybe you're here today and you say, boy, I tell you what, I have fallen for the devil's scheme. He has absolutely deceived me. It's not too late to get back where you need to be. Take a moment this morning in your seat, however the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Talk to the Lord. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me. Lord, may I draw my supply from you. May I be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. May I be aware of the devil and his lies, tricks, and deceptions. May I be strong in your power for your truth. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We'll have our closing verse. Next week, we'll look at the rest, one or two verses of the armor of God that God calls us to put on as we're in a spiritual battle. We love each of you. We pray that we'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and that we'll not fall for the lies and deception of the devil. I think we all have at different times in our life fallen for his lies. May we not be deceived any longer, but hold to the truth of God's word. Let's read this final verse together this morning. Here we go. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. One more time this morning. Ready? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the power and the strength that you give us. Lord, we long for the day where the devil is forever chained. But Lord, until then, may we draw strength from you. May we recognize this battle that we're in of spiritual lies, of deception, of hurt and pain. And Father, may we draw strength from you as the devil comes with his attacks and his lies, and may we stand close to the truth of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit, and to one another as fellow believers. We thank you for all you've done, but we pray for our nation, we pray for our world, that more would turn to you, turn to the truth of the word of God, and find salvation through Jesus Christ. We know that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for revealing your truth to mankind, and may we seek after these things. May the devil and his lies be minimized in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.